Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A woman from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family podcast. We've got a tremendous podcast for you guys. We're going to be chatting in segment number two with Kai McKeon. We're going to be diving into what to expect out of some of these NBA draft decisions, how much of a holding pattern it is causing on a lot of these decisions as well, because we have noticed something like Kentucky. They have yet to make a move via the transfer portal. I do think a lot of it is because they're waiting on a pair of very impactful draft decisions. So we're going to be diving into that front. We also got to talk about Caleb Love and that ordeal, as looked like he was going to be going to Michigan. Turns out he is not going to be going to Michigan. So we're going to dive into some logistics there. And we are going to be diving into quite a bit more of the logistics a little bit more on this podcast today as well, because I know that there has been a lot of people buzzing about whether or not we are going to be seeing these guys that are transferring multiple times actually get waivers, because the last few years it has been the wild, wild west. Everyone has been cleared to play. And this offseason, the NCAA said that they're going to be cracking down a little bit more. So we're going to get the thoughts of Kai McKeon on that front, what to make out of that. We might be seeing a few guys that decide to pull out of the NBA draft, enter into the portal as well. If there might be a little bit of forgiveness for some of those guys as well, because there was actually a transfer portal deadline as well. And then a few guys that are out there on the open market, and some of the guys that might be able to make an impact based on where they do go / if they stay in the NBA draft. So we got a little bit of everything coming up there in segment number two. In the final segment, we've seen quite a bit of news in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Not necessarily any big bomber moves, but I do think that we've got a lot of stake in terms of guys that are going to be able to make a little bit of impact, making moves, making decisions as to where they're going to be playing next season. And we did see a marquee NBA draft decision go down late on Thursday. So we're going to be rounding all that up in the final segment. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNet_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in any Twitter questions today, so we've got a locked and loaded chat with Kai McKeon. Let's waste no more time and get into it next, right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the Beast and Family Podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation... I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Seats with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is great to be joined by this man as we've got Kai McKeon aboard. He is one third of the three man weave, which you're able to follow at the number 3MW underscore CBB. All three of these gentlemen, whether it's Kai, Jim, or Matt, they do an absolutely excellent job. Take a look at the game of college basketball with Kai. He's based out there in the great Midwest. I know that throughout the season he was contributing over at the Field of 68 Action Network. You're able to go down the list. Kai always does a top-notch job, and you're able to follow him on Twitter at his name, Kai, the letters K-N-Y underscore, and then the number 3MW. And Kai, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. And Kai, we've been seeing a lot of intrigue the last few days in terms of this college basketball season. And to me, the most notable thing that has happened over the last 48, 72 hours is the fact that Caleb Love, he is not going to be attending Michigan. I believe that it was because he couldn't get in due to admissions. I might be mistaken on that. But with that said, I think that this just opens up a little bit of a can of worms because I don't think that it's a case where Caleb Love is going to be ineligible to play this season or anything like that because he had already submitted his paperwork for the transfer portal. It's just a case where he got denied admission with regards to Michigan. But I do think that there is going to be a lot of intrigue. And we always see a couple of stories like the one with Caleb Love where a guy commits to a school and he either A, pulls out, or B, just flat out can't get into the school.
Yeah, was it Nojel Eastern that we saw something similar with back in the day when he tried to transfer to Michigan as well? That school just doesn't mess around, I guess, with academics. It's nice in this day and age to see a school actually do that. So yeah, I heard academics as well. You know, who knows if that's the true story or not, but seems to be the case, at least from what we know. I don't think he'll not play this season. I think he'll find a landing spot somewhere. I've heard Mizzou is a possibility. Personally, I would dislike that as a Mizzou alumni. I've heard Indiana being thrown around, but he'll find some school and we'll see if he's a good contributor this year.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that that is a big name out there on the market. As we know, Caleb Love, not necessarily the master of efficiency, but when you're able to get a guy from a school that 2 years ago was in the national title game and was averaging north of 15 points per game, that is someone that you probably, at the very least, you want to be doing your research on. And we do have quite a few notable names that are out there in the transfer portal. And we're noticing a few guys trying to put in their name late. I noticed Zion Pullen was one of those guys as well. Now, there is a little bit of murkiness because I believe that the exact wording is a school had up to 48 hours to be able to put a guy's name into the transfer portal. So if they decided on that Thursday deadline, there's a little bit of leeway when it comes to filling out the paperwork or anything like that. But do you think that there might be a circumstance where the NCAA allows some of these guys that might enter into the transfer portal late to still be able to play this year? Because this is really the first year that we had a transfer portal sort of cutoff date. And I do think that there might be a little bit of leniency with this, as the NCAA just seems like, for lack of a better term, an unorganized mess at this point.
Yeah, who knows? Obviously, grad transfers can still go whenever, I believe. But yeah, the undergrad guys, that cutoff date. I kind of heard the NCAA was going to be cracking down on eligibility waivers, at least for the guys that were transferring multiple times. You know, you still have the free transfer rule. But the second time you do it, or third time you do it, you do have to apply for a waiver. I know we saw the NCAA kind of give every single player basically a waiver in the past. But just the fact that they explicitly said after the season that, you know, for instance, a coaching change wouldn't count as a reason for a waiver, I tend to think they might be a little more strict. We'll see, because there's a lot of guys right now in the transfer portal that have signed with schools that would not be eligible if the NCAA goes ahead and is strict with these two-time, three-time waiver rules.
Yep, absolutely. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Kai McKeon of the Three Man Weave. And I think that this is something that really does need to be tracked, because when it comes to a lot of these guys that are in the transfer portal, most of them are not necessarily first-time guys. We're noticing quite a few guys that this is time number two, time number three. Here we go down the list of the amount of times that they have put their name in for the transfer portal. And I do think that this is something to take note of, because I do feel like this might be what it was a few years ago, because prior to COVID-19, we were noticing that it was sort of like a roll of the dice as to whether someone was going to get one. It's like, hey, Villanova, your guys all get a waiver. You know what, Grand Canyon? Sorry, you get the short end of the stick here. And I feel like we might be sort of in that vector once again. And I do think that this is going to be very difficult to track, because with north of 1,700 guys in the transfer portal, most of these guys being in there for what is not their first time, it is going to be a case where this is going to be very, very difficult to just keep notes of.
Yeah, absolutely. I know schools are thinking about it. You know, I've talked to people on staff of schools, and you know, we bring up players in the transfer portal, and their first comment to me is, why would they be eligible? And I was like, oh, I guess that's a good point. And they signed with this school, and they go, you tell me why they would be eligible, and we would go after them and try to sign them. So I think there's a bit of a different strategy for schools out there. I think some schools are probably overpromising and banking on being able to get certain guys eligible. I think some schools are trying to avoid those type of guys altogether and get guys that they know for a fact will be eligible this coming season. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I do think that that is very interesting to dive into as well. And I know that there are some schools that are probably going to be leaving a scholarship or two open as well at this point, because for one, they never know who is going to be popping into the transfer portal and what is going to be all happening on that front as well. But for two, as we know, there's a lot of NBA draft decisions that are coming up, because a big reason why I did ask you if we might be seeing a little bit of leniency in terms of these guys that might enter into the transfer portal late is because we do have a lot of guys that they're on the fence of whether or not they're going to be staying in the NBA draft or if they're going to be coming back now. As we know, some of these guys like Julian Phillips, Arthur Kaluma, insert your guy here, they have already put their name into the transfer portal. So they are going to be really choosing their adventure, whether for Kaluma it's going back to Creighton, whether it's going to a different school, or if it's just staying in the NBA draft altogether. But I think that this is really something to watch, because I've been noticing in the last, we're going to call it 7 or so days, there's been a little bit less activity in the transfer portal. And I think a lot of it is schools want to see what happens with these NBA draft decisions before they use up that final scholarship or two.
Yeah, definitely. I think schools and also guys in the transfer portal, right? You don't want to transfer to a school and an NBA guy comes back and all of a sudden you're not playing as much as you thought you were going to. So it is a bit of a cat and mouse game. You'll probably see guys that already committed get kind of screwed by guys coming back. Yeah, to your point about the guys who entered the portal before declaring for the draft, I think that's just smart. I think that's just good business sense. That allows them to leave all their options open. You know, who knows if Kaluma or Phillips will actually transfer if they end up coming back to school. But I think it was in their best interest to just declare for the portal, like you said, just to keep their options open.
Yep, and we've seen it in the past where some of these guys, they do put their name in the portal, they declare for the NBA draft, but they just come back to the school that they were at to begin with. I remember this was the case with Kofi Coburn a few seasons ago. So that is something to be watching out for. Just because a guy puts his name into the transfer portal does not mean that they are as good as gone, and they can pull their name out whenever they want to as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Kai McKeon. He does absolutely tremendous work over at the Three Man Weave. And Kai, when it comes to those NBA draft decisions, because that is right now, in my opinion, the biggest domino to fall in college basketball. I think that we're going to be seeing a shortage of news the next week or two until we know what these guys are actually going to be doing. Who are a few guys that you're looking at that they've got big decisions, whether or not they go back to the school that they came or they go into the transfer portal slash they don't return to school at all, and they're going to be making a big impact as to whether or not they are back at school or not?
Well, number one, top of my mind is Kobe Brown from Mizzou. Being an alum, being a huge fan of the team, I'm getting nervous. Kobe Brown's getting really good feedback from the NBA process, the draft combine process, and it kind of looks like he's gone. I've seen him as high as number 36 on mock drafts, so apparently he's getting pretty good feedback there. So I'm kind of nervous that he's not going to come back to school. You know, people have said that he would transfer if he came back. I know a lot of schools are offering him basically the kitchen sink and everything else to transfer, certain schools in the SEC outside of Mizzou. So that's the one I'm watching. Obviously, there's plenty of other maybe bigger names, but Kobe Brown, I think, is the biggest domino for me.
Yeah, Kobe Brown is certainly a big one, and I do think that there's quite a few Big 12 schools with a lot to gain slash lose, because with Texas, they've got multiple guys in there. I think that Dylan Mitchell is the biggest roll of the dice at this point, along with Tyrese Hunter. What those two guys do, that is really going to be a little bit of a maker or breaker for Texas, especially with Max Asemus coming in, having a guard to be able to really help him out, and Hunter, I think, would be very beneficial for him, allowing him to play off the ball a little bit more. And then Baylor as well with Adam Flagler and company. I think that these are two schools of big impact as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All those guys you mentioned, a lot of Big 12 names there in Flagler and Hunter and Mitchell even for Texas. Texas is looking a little thin if you look at their roster right now. So their decision is major impact for the Longhorns. I think they have maybe 8 guys right now on their roster, excluding Mitchell. So yeah, we'll see what happens there.
No doubt about it. As I do take a look at the Big 12, I think that there's some big decisions there, but I also take a look at Syracuse as well, a team that has been able to do a good job in the transfer portal, bringing in some guys in recent days to be able to fortify things, even someone like a Kyle Cuffey who comes over from Kansas. That's a good sign for them, but I feel like they're one of the schools with some of the biggest to gain slash lose as well, with whether or not we're going to be seeing Judah Mintz come back as well, because as we know, they got J.J. Starlin in the transfer portal. I felt like that was massive for them. He's pretty much a replacement to Joe Girard. It's a little bit of a new coaching regime. And I think that with the new coaching regime in there, which and it's very strange to say for Syracuse with Jim Boeheim being there for 100 million billion years. But I do think that trying to keep a little bit of the old guard, someone that has been with the program for a very long time, and Mintz is big. And even though I think he should return to school, I think that's one to really watch as well.
He's a huge domino, especially, you know, going through the rising sophomore year, right? Guys tend to improve quite a bit, freshman to sophomore. And Starling was a major, major recruit. There were some people that thought he would be, you know, the best freshman in the ACC last year. So that's a really intriguing backcourt. Chance Westry also there from Auburn, a lot of potential. Really intriguing backcourt for Syracuse, and of course they added McLeod from Florida State. Didn't get a whole lot of playing time at FSU, but he's 7'4", and if Autry decides to, you know, stick with the Syracuse 2-3 zone, that's a heck of a presence right in the middle. So Syracuse, TBD. No one knows how good Autry is as an actual X's and O's coach, but the roster is certainly squaring up pretty well if Mintz comes back.
Absolutely. As you're joining me on the podcast, we do have Kai McKee, and he does great work over at the three-man weave. And I do think that there are a couple schools that are sort of hamstrung with regards to some of the moves that they made this offseason, just because they are a little bit just dependent upon what happens here in the transfer portal. Because one of the biggest surprises for me this offseason is how silent Kentucky has been. Kentucky, we know them as a little bit more of a one-and-done school, but as we also know, they've been bringing in a lot more transfers. They brought in as many transfers as the University of Greg Peterson thus far this offseason. That would be zero. But they do have a pair of guys in Oscar Shibwe along with Chris Livingston that are going through the process as well. How much do you think there are schools like a Kentucky that have sort of been really holding off just because they have no idea what the heck is going on? And I do think that Kentucky has been one of the most interesting stories this offseason, because even though they are sort of dependent upon these decisions, for them to sign nobody, for me, has just been a little bit mind-numbing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Definitely one of the biggest teams that's kind of playing the waiting game. You know, if Livingston and or Shibwe come back, this team could be awesome. 4 or 5 stars, all in the top 15 in the country. Reeves, I think, is also going through the draft process. So if they get all those guys back, it's enormous. If Livingston or Shibwe decides to leave, you can guarantee that Kentucky's going to get one of the grad transfers that comes late. I would bet on that. We've seen that in the past, and there's plenty of guys out there that would love to go to Kentucky. Playing time, of course, is a question, especially when you look at the talent on their roster, the sheer freshman talent that are probably, you know, promised to play big minutes. But I would think they get a big name if Shibwe leaves.
Yep, and I do think that that is part of the reason why someone like a Ray J. Dennis has yet to sign in terms of the transfer portal, as well as, and we've been hearing him perhaps going to Illinois, but he's a name that I'm certainly watching out for. Are there a few other ones like a Ray J. Dennis that you have your eye on, that they're a big name that they have yet to sign in the transfer portal? Because a lot of the larger names, they have come off the board, but I still think that there are some gems out there, even though they might not even be in the NBA draft process as of right now.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot in terms of like the top of the list. You know, I'm certainly waiting on guys making their final decision, like Kamwa from Tennessee, another guy that still might come back to school, I think. I think Grant Nelson's probably gone from North Dakota State. I don't know if David Jones has decided where to go yet. St. John's transfer, former DePaul guy. He's a pretty good player that could really fit into pretty much any team. A big guy that's kind of under the radar is Bandalgo from Utah Valley. His list was long of teams courting him, so just a couple guys out there. Most of the top guys, I think, have signed by now. But there are a couple big names that, again, school like Kentucky could snap up pretty much any of these guys.
Absolutely. And there's a lot to take a look at right now in terms of the transfer portal. We are right now awaiting these NBA draft decisions. Kai, I know that you're doing a great job of taking a look at the landscape of college basketball. And I know that you've got your finger on the pulse of all of it. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, this offseason we'll be doing the Almanac once again, the massive college basketball preview magazine. So stay tuned for information on that. But you can follow 3-Man Weave at 3MW_CBB. We'll have weekly podcasts and discussions about the college basketball landscape.
And Kai is one of the best at being able to take a look at the great game of college basketball. All three gentlemen over there at the 3-Man Weave, Kai, Jim, and Matt, they all do a tremendous job. And every time they join this podcast, they lend tremendous insights, much like Kai did today. So big thanks, Kai McKeon, for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Thursday.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season 1, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season 2, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcast. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to MLB Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Seats with myself, Greg Ips Peters, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Kyle McKeon aboard. He does amazing work over at the Three Man Weave, and really all three of those gentlemen over at the Three Man Weave, Kai, Jim, and Matt, they all do an absolutely excellent job taking a look at the great game of college basketball, and every single time they join this podcast, they lend great insights, much like today. So big thanks to Kai for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Eddie Turner down for what? He was playing at Columbia a few years ago. Did not play this past season. 2 years ago during the 2021-22 season. Saw limited starts before getting banged up. Was able to average in that time span right around 9 points, 2.5 assists per contest. He is going to be going to Montana State. Montana State looking to turn over a little bit of a new leaf with Danny Sprinkle now out of the fold. And I mean, it's a rough situation for them, to say the least. They've been a power out there in the Big Sky, but I do think that they've done a relatively solid job. They get our good friend Mr. Turner down for what, which is going to be a big cog for them, and no doubt about it, with Danny Sprinkle bringing a few guys with them over to Utah State. That does leave them a little bit bereft of talent, but still, Chika Nduka coming over from Portland, I think, is solid. I do think that they've done a good job of bringing in some non-D1 guys as well. Brian Baraki is someone that was relatively solid at Point Loma, so I do like what they're doing right now and bringing in someone like a Turner. I think that there could be a little bit of untapped potential there. This is big for Grand Canyon as they're going to be landing Sidney Curry from Louisville. Curry, I mean, he wasn't necessarily the world's greatest player over at Louisville, but I mean, this guy was still a nice rebound getter. I liken him a little bit to a Richard Persons, Ivan Odriogo, who they were able to get from Nebraska a few seasons ago. For Sidney Curry, he saw 25 starts this last year for Louisville, right around 5 points, 4.3 rebounds per contest. I would argue that he needs to do a little bit of a better job with his shot blocking, but towards the end of the 2021-22 season, when he was getting mono minutes for Louisville, I mean, he had some relatively good performances. Those last 5 games of the season during that campaign, I mean, they featured him. He had 9 rebounds, 17.5 points per game, so he's went off in the ACC before, and Grand Canyon always brings in some relatively high-level transfers. I think that this is going to be able to fortify them down low, so I do like this ad, and I like this ad as well. South Alabama is losing Deontay Smith over to Nichols. Nichols going through a little bit of a coaching change as Austin Klonich. He decided that he was going to take an assistant coaching job over at Alabama. But for Smith, he was playing over at South Alabama 2 seasons ago, was able to put up 7 points, 3.5 boards, shot 38.5% from 3-point range as a 6'7", little bit of a combo player. Began his career at TCU. For a Nichols team that is in a little bit of transition, being able to get someone like that, I think that that is a rock solid gift for them. We are noticing a few guys going down to the non-D1 level as Silas Mason. He was playing over at UNC Asheville the last few seasons and actually was like a top 400 or so recruit. Just could never really find his way with UNC Asheville. He averaged his last year 2.5 points per contest. He's going down to D2 Clark Atlanta. These are all always very easy for handicapping. All you need to know is that Mr. Mason, he was at the D1 level last year. He's now at the non-D1 level. Cross him off the list of guys that you need to be able to break down and move on. Van Allen Lubin, he was playing this last season over at Notre Dame, and he decided that he is going to be heading out over to Vanderbilt. We have noticed quite the pipeline between Notre Dame and Vanderbilt and vice versa, and for Lubin, he was a top 75 recruit in the 2022 class, pretty much across the board. Solid limited minutes because Notre Dame never really likes to dive into their bench, but he's a solid low post presence. Right around 6 points, 4.5 rebounds per contest over at Notre Dame this last season. Not a guy that's going to stretch a floor and necessarily pop threes or anything like that. And for Vanderbilt, they did lose a few pieces via the transfer portal this last offseason, but Jerry Sackhouse has been able to do a solid job of keeping Vanderbilt relatively competitive. They've been able to bring in some nice freshman classes. I think that he's done a solid job here in the transfer portal, bringing guys that are going to be able to come in right away, and I do think that they're going to be able to make some good contributions. So do like what Vanderbilt is doing, and I do think that this is a relatively rock-solid gift for them. Kyle Cuffey Jr., he is going over to Syracuse. Now, the big question for Syracuse is whether or not they're going to be getting Judah Mintz. That's something that we're going to be figuring out within the next few weeks. But for Cuffey, He was someone that was a little bit of a walk-on at Kansas this last season, just wasn't able to see a lot of minutes in general. But at 6'2", if you don't get Judah Mintz back, he'll probably see a few minutes in the backcourt. Now, I don't think that this is going to be a guy that's going to be lighting the world on fire or anything like that, but and he was the number 3 prospect in the state of New Jersey for the class of, I believe it was 2021. He was the top 125 guy, according to 247 Sports nationally. Does need to work on his ball handling a little bit, but someone that's able to stroke it from 3-point range, this is a good get for them. Jay Powell is a solid get for San Diego State, as he was a pal to Campbell this last season. All Big South performer, 12.5 points, 7 boards. We've seen guys transfer from Campbell and have instant success as well. You go back to the guy that was able to lead the team 2 seasons ago in production, and Cedric Henderson. He had himself a nice year last year at Arizona. Would love to have seen what Chris Clements would have done many, many years ago, but Messiah Thompson, when he went down to Alabama A&M, he was able to do a very solid job for them. The Big South in general has been a little bit poached, and a lot of these guys that they do transfer out of the Big South, they do have quite a bit of production. Powell, very much a defense-oriented big man that I think fills a need that San Diego State has, and I do think that he's going to have a lot of production moving forward. Abramo Kanka, he was playing this last season over at UCLA. He has decided that he is going to be going to Wake Forest. For Kanka, just really didn't see any minutes whatsoever for this team, so he was just looking to be able to get out there on the floor. He's a 6'6", little bit of a combo player that comes over from the country of Italy. He's a guy that's able to stretch the floor. Shot 50% from 3-point range, obviously. Very, very small sample size there, but he is someone that I do think has quite a bit of upside, as he was someone that I know a lot of people were bullish on when the top prospects coming over from the international level in recent years, him going to Wake Forest, him being able to spread the floor, that is big, because Wake Forest, I thought that they were going to be banking on a little bit of versatility out of the man that's staying in the NBA draft in Bobby Clintman. Clintman was able to average only about 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game, but surge towards the back half of the season, and a lot of prospects are intrigued on him, and he's decided that he is going to be staying in the NBA draft. So them being able to counter less than 72 hours later and get an ad like this, I think that that is big. Alan Sumler, he was playing this last season at Northern Kentucky. He has decided that he is going to be going to Charleston Southern. Wasn't a big contributor over at Northern Kentucky. Averaged about 3 points per contest. Shot from 3-point range right in the pocket about 30%, but a big upgrade for Charleston Southern considering this backcourt just has not been great in recent years. They were able to do a little bit more in terms of being able to put points up on the board last season, but the defense did falter a little bit, so we shall see what happens there. And then Ethan Butler, he was playing at Oregon last season. He has decided that he's going to Northern Illinois. He was a little bit of a diamond in the rough guy that Oregon was trying to strike a little bit of gold on. He comes from the country of Canada, 6'6", a little bit of a wing player, wasn't necessarily the most highly touted of guys. I think Oregon was just trying to strike a little bit of lightning in a bottle there. He wasn't able to really be able to find his form at Oregon, but with Northern Illinois, I think that's a nice little buy low spot on a guy that he spent a few years out at a power conference school out there with Oregon, and they've done a solid job this offseason with Northern Illinois. It has been a school that has had a tough time being able to attract talent. Typically, they're the ones that are losing a lot of players via the transfer portal, and they have still lost a few guys by the transfer portal this offseason, but being able to bring Butler in is big. I know they've got Dr. Bradley coming in, one of the best names in all of college basketball. He was one of the top junior college players in all of college basketball a few seasons ago. Philemon Gebewhite, he's a little bit of a combo player, someone that's going to be able to pull in boards for them, coming in from DePaul. Curran McPherson, a former top 150 guy from Nebraska. So this has been a really nice portal period for Northern Illinois. Probably not enough for them to really be making significant noise out there in the MAC, but you know what? Onward and upward for them. Things are looking a little bit brighter for them. Tyrese Hunter as well. We were talking about this with our good friend Kai McKeon, and we were talking about these draft decisions that are of impact. Right after we did the interview, Tyrese Hunter decided that he is going to be heading back to Texas. This is absolutely massive for him. Now, he and Max Asemus are able to team up for Hunter. He had his best year really during his freshman year while he was at Iowa State. That year, 11 points, 4.9 assists, 2 steals per contest. This last year became a little bit of a better 3-point shooter at 33.5% from the outside, more like 10.5 points and 2.5 assists per game, but Now with Asemus coming into the fold, I think that they're probably going to play Asemus a little bit more off the ball. Hunter is probably going to be the main floor general for this team. They're not going to require him to shoot as much. They're going to require him to do a little bit more facilitating, be really the head of the snake on defense, and I do think that he is going to be able to do that, but absolutely massive news. Now we await what Dylan Mitchell is going to be doing, but that said, being able to get at the very minimum one of those guys back, that is a very good haul for them, and we are still waiting on a lot of these draft decisions, but we are getting a little bit more clarity with them, and we've got you covered with a little bit of everything right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letter CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I will be coming at you guys every single day throughout the year on this podcast, here in the offseason, rounding up the news and notes of college basketball. We're building up to be able to do some conference previews, and once we get a little bit more clarity with the transfer portal and just what we're going to be getting in general in terms of some of these waivers / non-waivers, going to be starting up conference previews. Then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. Also, a big thanks to Kai McKeon, who does tremendous work at the three-man weave. Join me in segment number 2. I will be coming at you guys every single day throughout this podcast, which means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.